This morning we're continuing on the subject there of prayer. I want to get into something, all right, concerning our prayers. Now, it tells us in the book of James chapter 1. And now we're speaking on the seven fundamental skills in terms of that you've got to master to be spiritually effective. And we said these seven things that we've identified. Number one, you have got to, all right, master the art of offering up spiritual sacrifice unto God, which is in worship, in praise, sacrifice of joy, sacrifice of righteousness, your holy priesthood. We've talked about you've got to also understand and master the skill of prayer, talking to God to receive wisdom from Him, power and supernatural intervention into situations. You've got to master the skill of meditation, ability to take scriptures out of the pages of the Bible, eat them, and let them get into your consciousness, and the word becomes flesh. The practice of that, where it is not just the epistle of Christ written by Paul, but now pills of Christ written inside our hearts upon the tables, fleshly tables of the human heart. Then we've got to understand, and that's very critical, because in this New Testament it says, my laws will I write in your mind. That's the real game changer in the New Testament. And inside your hearts will I put them. Then we also said you've got to understand and master the art of you giving honor to whom honor is due. And then we said how to handle offenses. It is impossible offenses will come. And your ability to handle offenses right, that's walking in love, forgiving, will open up massive doors for you, where the lame foot is healed rather than being turned out of the way. And then we also said you've got to, all right, understand and master the art there in terms of faith towards God and obedience in your life. Dependent, soul dependence upon God. And then obeying what He says to you as the key to releasing that faith there. Faith and obedience. Dependent and obedience. Trust and then obey. And then the seventh we said is how to be led by the Spirit of God. How to hear the voice of God. Now, we're looking at prayer starting out, and I want to start out in James chapter 1. And it says in verse 16, do not err, my beloved brethren. Don't err, my beloved brethren. Now, he had talked about temptations, how people get tempted. That when a man is tempted, he shouldn't say he was tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil. And he said a person is tempted when they are enticed, or are drawn away of their own lusts and enticed. And then that is conceived. He said, listen, that's the way they are trying to get things, so they're enticed by people on the outside. He said, don't err, my beloved brethren. Let us show you the pattern of how God gives things to people. He says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So he says, it comes from the Father of lights. That term, Father of lights, means every good and every perfect gift comes from above, comes from the Father who gives it to us in the form of light. In other words, in the form of revelation. So when you pray unto Him, what God is going to do in granting the answer to that prayer, He gives you in the form of light. Remember, at the beginning, the earth was without form and void. And the first thing that God said is, let there be light. Now, once there is light, then we can now begin to have activity there. So it's still the most important thing, light. So it says this, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. It says, He will give you in the form of light. And there's going to be no variableness with God. He's going to be consistent there. No change, no high and low. You will see the consistency of God in that light. You look out of that light and behold nine vanities, then things will. But you stay within the light. It says the consistency, no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Shadow of turning means you will never see the shadow of God cast by reason of turning away from what He has revealed to you. He will never turn away from it. Once he gives you light concerning that, all right, then you focus and you understand this is the light. It's a covenant. The entrance of God's word giveth light. The Bible says he sent his word, which means the word entered into them. That's the way he does it. And then light comes on the inside. And then he says, when you are faithful to the light that he has revealed to you, then eventually you are going to have the manifestation. So he says, you turn away from that light. That's what Jonah was saying. They that observe lying vanities forsake their mercy. So when we go up to the throne of grace and obtain mercy, we obtain light concerning that particular thing. And then in that light, we're going to find grace to help us in a time of need. So he says that God gives it in the form of light. And then in verse 18, it tells us, that's why he can tell us this, of his own will, he begat us with the word of truth to show us that when he got us saved, he used this method, that we should be a kind of the first fruits of his creatures. In other words, what he's saying is we are going to be a type, all right, first fruits of his creature, a pattern for others. So we're going to show the pattern of walking in the light on the earth, resolving problems by doing this, conquering situations by doing this. We're going to show to the world that this was what God ordained from the beginning, that man will have light, and people that have light on the inside of themselves and deal with situations this way and go about their business this way, that this is the outcome that comes to them. It says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, in the light of this, knowing that God will give what he wants to give first in the form of light, the same way you got born again through the word of truth, he said, let every man be swift, therefore, to hear, to listen, be slow to speak. So you find yourself in a situation, he says, if you don't have light, don't say anything. Be slow to speak, but be very quick to hear. Now, the situation looks disturbing. It says, be quick to hear, be slow to speak, and be slow to wrath or anger, for the wrath of man will never work the righteous plan of God in that situation. So getting angry and getting mad, getting irritated, doing all of that will never produce God's intended plan. He says, listen, God has something on his mind. He's going to send his word into your heart. You are going to receive light, and your faithfulness to that light will determine, which means as a light that shines in a dark place, take heed unto it. Be faithful until the day dawns and the day star rises in your heart. So it starts as a little light in a dark place, and that light grows every day until the day dawns and then the day star rises in your heart. So he concludes and says, wherefore lay apart all superfluity of naughtiness, and with meekness receive the engrafted word of God, which is able to save your souls. And don't just be a hearer, but be a doer of that word. So receive with meekness the engrafted word of God that is able to save your soul. And don't just listen to that word. It says begin to focus on that word, because he is not going to change from the word that he has given to you in that situation. So I want to look at this today. Right? We pray to God, and many people in prayer, we look on the outside to find out whether there are any changes. We check whether the email has been sent. We check whether this, we check. But it says, no. It tells us God will give it first, not as an event, but he will give it first as light on the inside. And he says, understand something. That light will not fail you. It's a treasure that you have inside earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power. Remember, it says God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of his glory that can only be found on the face of Jesus. It says we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power will be seen to be of God and not of us. So there is a treasure there, and that treasure is the light. And that light is the source, all right, of the power of God that will be made manifest in our lives. When the power of that light that is within begins to manifest, then people will know that it's God who is at work in you. So God commits himself to you by revealing certain things to you. So don't look on the outside. I want to show you where you look at in order to get the answer. You get the answer in the form of light. Stay with that light. Every day that light will grow inside you until the result comes forth. Now we delay this, all right, by us turning away from that light. We turn to other things there. And we delay the manifestation and push back on the power of God because of our conduct, not because God doesn't want to do it. He says, I will do it speedily, but will I find faith on the earth? Which means, will I find men actively involved, all right, in this particular thing we want to look at? So let's look at Psalm 13 here and see what David said concerning this. Now, David is a man I personally believe, all right, before Jesus came, he was the one that had the most powerful form of revelation of God on the earth. I mean, David was a man that got up, all right, and reversed the order of Moses right before the eyes of the Jews. He came there and said, God has opened up my ears. He says, burnt offering, sacrifice for sins, all these things that you are talking about, God has not desired, neither has God required that. I mean, this was David, this was Moses who went to the mountain, came back with all of these things, built according to the pattern that was shown him on the mount. And David came and said, you see all those things Moses said? He said, that's not really what God requires. What God really requires is that you offer thanksgiving and you pay your vows and praise, congregational praise. So we see David here in Psalm 13 here and saying something really powerful. He says in Psalm 13 and verse 1, he goes on and says this. He says, how long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? So if you've been praying and it looks like, God, it's taking long, have you forsaken, have you forgotten me? This is what he was expressing here. Why am I still in this situation? How long will thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? Is this going to last forever? Is this situation going to be there forever? How long will thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? Now, when we keep taking counsel in our soul, and this is what brings about depression. You are faced with a situation, you are looking for the answer in your soul. You start thinking about it and thinking about it and thinking about it and thinking about it and thinking about it, right? And thinking about it says then sorrow and depression begins to grow within the heart. He says, how long will my enemy be exalted over me? So see how you get the victory. Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. In other words, send the light and open up my eyes. Let me see light there, lest. So the prayer, the answer he was looking for was light. He says, once I get light, I'm not talking about giving me a manifestation. He said, I'm asking for light. He says, once I get light there, he said, then I know I'm going to get the result here. So what he was waiting for was light there. Now, many of us are not asking for light. We are asking for events on the outside. And that's why it appears that it's taking so long. He asked for light. Remember the Paul's prayers. Majority of those prayers were for light. Fill me with the knowledge of your will, or fill us with all wisdom and spiritual understanding, light. He prayed, God, give the spirit of wisdom and revelation that the eyes of our understanding, same thing David prayed here, might be enlightened, that we might know the hope of your calling upon us in this particular situation. So he says, lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. And my enemy says, we've prevailed, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. So you now start getting moved because you have no light running here and there. It says, but once light comes, all right, you wake up. You no longer sleep the sleep of death. The sleep of death means you are adjusting, all right, to the condition in which you find on the earth, void of God's power. You are now beginning to adjust to it and to start developing coping mechanisms with a manifestation of death, all right, in your environment there. Now, we're creatures of habit, and we can adjust to things. So it's important. Before you begin to adjust, he said, he will not allow your soul to see corruption. He won't allow that thing to get into you until you adjust, all right, to that particular thing. When your heart is yearning and there's a fight in you to resolve the issue, that is your season of response. Hold it and go about it the right way. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. If you go about it the wrong way and your hope keeps getting deferred, then your heart starts getting sick, you throw in the towel. Go about it the right way. The right way is in prayer, ask God for light. Ask him for revelation there. Show me what you want to do about this. The earth was without form and void. First thing that God said is, let there be light. So it says, lest I sleep the sleep of death. And let me just tell a story here about reconditioning, because we are creatures of habits there. And I keep telling this story. There was a time many years ago, you know, staying alone in my house. And what happened was there was a fault in a room. The light bulb had gone off, and it was very technical. I couldn't replace it myself. So I kept telling myself, I'll tell the electrician, all right, in the morning, I'll call him and he'll come and help me change the bulb, light bulb. All right. So I would try to go into the room because there were things in the room that I would need to get at night. And sometimes I would kick on things, I'd hit on things, feel pain, and tell myself in the morning, I'm going to call this guy, make up my mind, I'm going to call this guy. Now, what happened was, after some time, I kept forgetting during the day. So I realized that what had happened was, after some time, I knew where everything was in the dark. So I'll go into that room in the dark and pick up everything where it is, all right, without any light. So I'd adjusted to darkness. And this is what David was saying, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest I adjust to life without that particular thing, lest I adjust to life without the fulfillment, lest I adjust to it. And we can adjust. All right, human beings can keep adjusting. That's why it says, don't let this world, it says, don't be conformed. The word conformed means, don't let this world squeeze you into its mold. Don't adjust to it. Now, let me tell you what happened to me. Eventually, I got the electrician, he fixed the light. The light came on, but I noticed this, that for 2 weeks after that, I will go into the room, I will not put on the light, because I was now comfortable with the darkness, and I will go around in the darkness, fish around and get everything that I needed to get. So we can get comfortable and have adjusted, all right, to life without the promise of God. And we are living that way. And that's what David was saying. I don't want to get into a condition that over time, I have now adjusted to a life without a job. I've now adjusted to being this. I've now adjusted to being that. When the fight is still in me and I don't agree that this should be my situation, I am going to fight right. I am not just going to be hitting against an invisible wall, not knowing what to do, but I'm going to ask for revelation. So it's important we know the method, because if you keep going about it the wrong way, as Paul said, to will was present, but how to perform I found not, and you keep hitting against an invisible ceiling, after some time, what is going to happen is you will adjust to that situation, void of God's power, void of God's intervention, and void of the promises of God. So I want to look at what you do, because many people are praying and calling on God on issues, and they're saying, how long will this take? All right, how long is this going to take? You know, we should change our minds there. When they talked about the widow, he said, an unjust judge, not a righteous, an unjust judge who said, I fear not God and have no feelings for man. But this widow kept coming and kept coming. That's not the concept of God. That's the concept of an unjust, wicked person. And eventually, the judge said, by her continual coming, she will weary me. It says, now, if an unjust judge can say this, he said, how much more won't your father answer you speedily? He said, but when I come, will I find faith on the earth? So the answer will come quickly. All right. It says, our light affliction, which is for a moment. It says, I will suffer not your soul to see corruption. Before corruption sets in, I will bring my resurrection power and get you out of that situation. Now, where are we missing it, therefore, that we are struggling and staying in a condition and in a situation there and saying, for how long? All right. People in their heart almost crying out, Father, why have you forsaken me? All right. Now, David got it. He said, light first. Let there be light. So he asked for light. Now, let's see something else about this. Psalm 43. It says this. Psalm 43. All right. And verse 2. For thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning? Because of the oppression of the enemy. So the enemy was oppressing. Look at what he prayed. Oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Then let them lead me. Let them bring me up unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Then I will go unto the altar of God, all right, unto my God with exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp, I will praise thee, O my God. So what I want to show today is that here is the pattern, all right, of God. When you are in a situation, what God does in answer to prayer is that he sends his word and it enters into you and light is given unto you. Then that light should lead you to the altar of God where you now rejoice in praises, and as you are praising God for the word that he has revealed to you and the answer that he has given to you, then you begin to get the manifestation on the outside. So the order of God is, first of all, he gives light to a person, and then we are to construct songs of worship and praise to him based on that revelation, thanking him for fulfilling what he has revealed to us in the word within our lives. And with that, then there comes the transformation of our situation and a change. God begins to move when man begins to praise him for what he has revealed to him. God answers prayer by revelation, and he answers the situation as we begin to praise him and rejoice in that light. This is what David understood, and this was the secret of David. And as you start rejoicing in that light, then there will be manifestation on the outside. That's why every descendant of David understood the power of praise. That is, God, you go to God in prayer and he reveals. Jehoshaphat went to God in prayer when he was surrounded by nations that were more powerful than him. God revealed to him what he was going to do. Jehoshaphat began to sing praises in response to that revelation, and an ambushment was sent. Hezekiah went to God in prayer. These were descendants of David that understood it. God revelation from God began to rejoice in the revelation, and the power of God came upon, all right, the Assyrians, and everything was scattered. So the order of God is that in prayer, we are saying, change it by prayer. He says, no, I will change you in prayer by revealing things to you. Then when you get that revelation, understand, you are not going to see any variableness or shadow of me turning away from that revelation. Start singing that revelation to God. Construct songs. I want to show you this. Based on that light to God, that is true worship. It tells us, if you read the Passion Translation of Psalm 33, where it says, the eyes of the Lord look to and fro. It says, he is looking for the weakest worshiper. And it says, the weakest man, but he is worshiping. That man, he says, even without the assistance of a man, will be kept alive in famine. Now, that's how powerful this is. Now, let's move on here, right? And that's the secret, right, of David. Let's just go on and see what David said here. Look at Psalm 119. That's what I want to show today. Psalm 119, right, and verse 161. David said, princes have persecuted me without cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. In other words, they were persecuting around. David said, I opened up the Bible and I stood in awe of the revelation that was coming from the scriptures. This is the table he has prepared for you in the presence of your enemies, which means forces are coming against you. And what you are doing is you are reading the word of God and light is coming. So he goes to the next verse. Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. I rejoice at that word as one that findeth great spoil. That's it, man. So David said, they are persecuting, armies are coming, but I open the word of God and I stand in awe, in reverence at what you are revealing. And then he said that, I'm sorry, electric power just went, usually I go on generator. I missed that. I usually do that. All right. But we can continue. Okay. All right. So he said, I stand in awe of thy word. And then he said, all right, princes now have surrounded me. He said, but I stay with the word of God there and I stand in awe of thy word. And then the next verse he says, I rejoice now at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. So he says, once I begin to see the victory in the world, now battle is coming, I started rejoicing. Spoils are what you take, all right, as the results of your victory. You gather the spoils of war. He said, I started rejoicing in that word as though the battle has been won. He said, that's the key to it. Now, let me show you something that Isaiah said here. I hope you can see me. Everything is fine. Isaiah here, all right, and verse 42. Let's look at this. This is the key to it. Isaiah, right, and verse 42. It says, verse 42, chapter 42 and verse 9. Now, hear what it says. God says, behold, the former things are come to pass. Right? The former things are come to pass. Please follow this. Follow this. It's going to change your life. The former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. So before it springs, that comes out of the earth, it says, new things do I declare. Before it springs forth, I tell you of them. Now, so I tell you of them. I reveal what I'm going to do. I send light. Then look at the next verse. It says, sing unto the Lord a new song. What is a new song? It says, behold, former things are come to pass. New things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Now sing a new song, which means change your song and begin to sing according to the new thing that I'm about to you, that I told you about. Because it's when you start singing that it's going to spring forth. He said, I told you before they sprung forth, so that you can sing it. So as you start singing it, he said, then they begin to spring forth. For when the people praise God, then shall the earth yield its increase, and God, even our God, will bless us. So it's the song that causes the blessing to come out. Read the entire scripture. And as you start singing that new song, based on the new light that he has given to you, so you are in a situation, God gives you revelation of what he is going to do. He tells you. Then you start singing. So if it tells you kings are going to send for you and you'll be loose, then you construct a song. Why do you think Paul said, let the word of God dwell richly in you in all wisdom? All right, singing to yourself, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, making melody. In other words, revelation is supposed to lead to a new song. So every day you are to have a fresh song of worship unto God from the fresh insights that is given to you. Your song of worship in private worship must depict what God is about to do within your life that he revealed unto you. So prayer brings the revelation. The songs bring the manifestation. You know, the first time, I've said this a couple of times, I met Don Wen. I asked him, I said, how did you know? You've discovered Ivan Slaughter. You discovered Ron Kilolly. You discovered Darlene Check. You discovered Israel Houghton. How did you know all these great song worship leaders? He said, I wasn't looking for people, all right, of worship. What I was looking for was where the move of God was. Because I understood that if there was a move of God anywhere, they must be singing right. In other words, their songs must be the content. The content of their songs must be what is creating the move of the Spirit in that place. Because it's what you sing. So you have to have a new song in personal worship. Now, look at what it says here. It says, let the wilderness and cities thereof lift up their voice. The villages that Kedar doth inhabit, let the inhabitants of the rock sing. Let them shout from the top of mountains. Let them give glory unto the Lord. Let them declare his praise unto the islands. Then it says, the Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. The Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. So, former things have come to pass. New things do I declare before they spring forth, because they can't spring forth without you singing them on the earth. So I will reveal what I want to do, then begin to sing it as though it's a done deal, thanking me for that, worshiping me and praising me and interacting with it in worship. And then the earth begins to cause that thing to happen. Now we are trying to pray the earth to produce when God says it's the song that produces it. But the prayer brings the revelation. All right. So in answer to prayer, you hear the word of God. Then you sing and it produces. Proverbs 15 and verse 13. All right. Says this. I'm just tell you what it says. It says, the light of the eyes. Read that scripture if you have it on your phone. The light of the eyes. Write it down. Causes the heart to rejoice. And a good report maketh the bones fat. So the light of the eyes will make your heart rejoice. And he says that rejoicing, for it's with joy you draw water out of the wells of salvation. That rejoicing will make your bones fat. That's why he says in Isaiah, who hath believed our report? He says, whoever believes my report, which means I opened your eyes. That's why James said, don't be the man who is a hearer only, beholds himself in his natural face, sees what God wants to do, and then goes and forgets what manner of man he is. That's what Jonah was saying. He says, they that observe lying vanities, which means they don't keep their eyes, have forsaken the mercy of God. God revealed something to them, and they saw it. They went in prayer and obtained mercy. That scripture that says, obtain mercy means you get the light. That's what it means. All right, then it says you find grace to help. That grace is released in praise. That help is released in praise. It says, in an acceptable time I have heard thee. In the day of salvation I have helped thee. Read it in Isaiah 49. Read it to the end. There's no time. This is an exegesis. Read it to the end. You will see. He said, the Lord hath forsaken us. God said, how can I forsake you that I've engraved upon the palms of my hands? He said, you know where you're missing it? He said, sing. Isaiah 49, all right? We can quickly look at this here. Isaiah 49. Look at what they said, all right? It says here, Isaiah 49. It says, sing, O heavens, be joyful, O earth. Break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted. But Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my God has forgotten, which means you are saying that you are not singing. That's why you are not seeing it. That's why you are saying the Lord has forsaken. Because the manifest presence of God only shows up in the song. If you don't sing the revelation, I'm going to show you in David. If you don't sing it, then you are not going, you're going to be saying, where is God? Where is God? Because the earth will remain a wilderness no matter what you know until you change, until you take. Don't just have notes. Have songs. Don't write new notes. Write new songs. After every message, you get an insight. Write a new song unto God. That's why David was writing psalms every day. It was his key to manifestation. So he says this. Can a woman forget a second child that she not have compassion upon the son of her? They may forget, yeah, I will not forget thee. Behold, I've engraven thee upon the palms of my hands. He says, that, and thy walls are continued. Thy children shall make haste. But he gave them the commandment, sing. That's why he says, sing, O barren that did not bear. Break forth into singing. The only way you can enter into singing is with revelation. You get the revelation, then the song comes out. Now, we've talked about watchmen on the walls. And we say, well, we are watchmen and we're interceding. Yes, that is involved. But to be honest with you, let me tell you what the watchmen do that give God no rest. Isaiah 52. I'm reading the Bible to you now. Right, to correct something in our mindset. It says, look at it. Isaiah 52:8. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice. With the voice together they shall sing. For they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. That's torn the captivity of Zion. How did they do it? By singing. Break forth into joy. Sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord hath comforted his people and hath redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all nations, and the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of God when you start singing. So the watchmen are men that watch, get the revelation, and are singing that revelation. So the Isaiah 62 that we've always said, right? Let me just quickly correct something and I'll close because of time here. We got to shut this down. Isaiah 62 verse 6. Look at what it says here. Isaiah 62 verse 6. Now we've read it. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Israel, which shall never hold their peace day or night. What was he talking about? We've thought it was prayer. They are shouting, God, oh God, oh God. What did they do when God said, if these hold their peace, even stones will immediately cry out? They were praising God. It says, I've set watchmen on thy walls that shall never hold their peace day or night. Ye that make mention of Lord, keep not silent. Give him no rest till he established, until he make Jerusalem a praise. The Lord hath sworn by his right hand and by the arm of his strength. In other words, God has sworn to you, give him no rest. Be singing what he showed you. Be singing it. Wake up in the morning and sing it and construct. All right, this praise there, construct it into a song and give him no rest until there's a manifestation of what he showed you. Let me close here. David, Psalm 40. I'm sorry, I hope you gained something. We couldn't get into, you know, this thing is so deep, we can just can't get. David, look at what David said. Now, remember the new song you revealed and then you sing. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. Now, if there, he brought you out of... No, now, what's that miry clay and put you on a rock? The rock is revelation. How do we know this? It says, Jesus said, upon this rock will I build my church. Flesh and blood hath not revealed. So what David was saying was that I prayed unto you and you brought my feet from a place of warring. You showed me something and set it upon a rock. Look at what it says in verse 3. He says, he hath put a new song. That new song was based on the revelation he just gave to him. He says, even praise unto God, many shall see it and fear and shall decide to put their trust in God. They will fear. The Bible says God is fearful in praises, always doing wonders. You want to start seeing the wonders of God. The first thing you've got to do is open my eyes that I might behold the wondrous things out of thy word. The Bible says things even angels desire to look into. When you see that, and that comes in answer to prayer, then you begin to construct songs every day, morning and evening. You wake up, all right? You construct a song of worship in the evening before you sleep. Construct a song of worship. Jesus told us what is the Father looking for. His eyes are going to and fro the entire earth, looking for those in whom he can show himself strong. What's he looking for? He's looking for true worshipers in spirit and truth. Those who are worshiping him about what he's about to do on the earth, that he has shown to them. I will do nothing but first of all reveal it to my servants. Then my servants will begin to prophesy in song and start singing that in worship back unto me. He says, so shall my word be that goeth forth, it shall not return to me void. If it returns to him, it won't be empty in your life. Take it in a song. That's why he says you will go out with joy. That is, the word has come in, then you take it back to him in joy. And then the manifestation comes. So we are trying to pray the manifestation instead of singing into that manifestation. Now let me close with one more scripture here. Okay? If you just give me some time, I'll just get to one more scripture that I believe, all right, will do justice. Psalm 33. No, it's not Psalm 33. Psalm 27. Psalm 27. Now, we all know this, and you'll see this now in a new light. Verse 1. You know, see what he said? The Lord is my light. You see what David said? And my salvation. He is, first of all, my light. Then my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came up to eat my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host shall encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war shall rise up against me, in this will I be confident. Look at what he says. One thing have I desired of thee, O Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in your house all the days of my life, to do two things, to behold the beauty, all right, of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. In other words, I'm in a situation, I go and inquire, and God reveals to me what he wants to do, which means with an open face, revelation comes to behold the beauty of God. For in time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me, and set me on a rock inside his tabernacle. You're on a rock. That's revelation. Now look at what he says. Now my head shall be lifted above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle the sacrifices of joy. I will sing and I will sing praises unto him. So what are you doing in that tabernacle? Look at what it says. In time of trouble, he will hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me and set me on a rock. Same thing David said. He set me on a rock there and then put a new song. He said, now my head shall be lifted above my enemies. That head there is light has come in. He says, and I will offer in that tabernacle, which means while I am hiding inside the tabernacle and there are threats all around, I'll be offering sacrifice of joy. Everything on the outside will change. So, folks, let me leave you with this order. You want something on the outside, the earth is going to bring it forth in response to your praises. The earth will yield its increase. But for you to be able to sing what will cause that earth to produce it, you've got to get light from God. The purpose of revelation is a song. So you get that revelation there and construct songs unto God. And when you construct songs, he says, then you start worshiping him in the beauty of his holiness. That beauty is what you saw. And as you start worshiping him, then the earth begins. And that's why he says, let the people praise him. You read the whole of Isaiah, you find out praise Praise is always the key to manifestation. The scripture says, and when they began to praise, God set an ambushment. So if I say I'm coming to your house, you say, what time am I coming? I'm coming at 4:30 p.m. Or I said, I came to your house yesterday. They say, when did you come? 4:30 p.m. Or when did you knock? 4:30 p.m. It says, when did God set an ambushment? When they began to praise. It's the time of movement of God coincides with the time where praise is offered. Once you are offering praise over a situation, God is moving into that situation. All right? The women's program in Igomo, somebody asked, now is at 9 a.m. All right. So we're going to close because of here. I pray for everybody under the sound of my voice. God, send forth light into their hearts. Let their eyes be opened up. Let them see the light of that situation, that they might be able to sing the songs that will bring about the manifestation. God bless you all. Thank you. Sorry about the light that went off. Usually I make sure we're on generator. It slipped my mind this time. God bless you.